Mark, do a quick search for Courtney Chambers on LinkedIn. Just see if it comes up. We'll see if people can use it.
If you're in doubt of which one I am, the handsome guy sitting at a desk. There's going to be times where people just want to talk to people.
Even this podcast is automated. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, it's not even you. This is our fake voices. It's all done by AI. This is not a real podcast. Okay, we are back for another C4 podcast. Is that right, Courtney?
Yeah, C4 official podcast, C4 conversation, whatever you want to call it, really.
Mark called it the C4 podcast.
You called it the C4 podcast,
on
Mark?
On the thumb.
It says C4 clean.
Okay, cool. That works for me.
We've got to find an official title, but anyway, we're still figuring it out, but we're here.
Sometimes less is more, so yeah, let's go for that.
I think so. Let's
do it.
You know me, I listen to a lot of podcasts, Courtney, and I'm doing it now, chatting nonsense, and just get straight to it.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about AI today. There's three areas we can touch on. A, how it affects the data cleaning industry and how it affects your business. Workplace, obviously, is a big one. It's a big, big debate. And robotics as well, and cleaning. So there's three areas we're going to touch on today.
Yep.
So just firstly, what's your understanding of AI? What does it mean to you? You know, you're a business owner. You in a bin industry, I think, that cleaning data centers that benefits from the growth in AI.
We're delving into a field which I wouldn't say is my strongest point, because I've never been a very tech guy.
No.
I'm a very human guy. So even if you go back to a long time ago, when it was sort of like computer systems and PlayStations and Super Nintendos, I delved in it a little bit, but I wasn't a massive sort of console type of person. Even if you see me on a laptop, I'm useless. Whereas for me, I'm just like more of a human person. I like to talk to people. I like to kind of have conversations, and I like to find that type of engagement quite interesting. So my experiences with AI, I would say, is quite limited. However, we have to accept that this is going to be part of our lives, and it's definitely going to evolve, and it's definitely going to work for us or work against us, depending on what your position is and what you're doing.
Well, you benefit, we just talked before we started, with the growth in data centers. Basically, AI,
yeah,
for what I know, takes a lot of power. They process in data
it centers. Does. I read up a lot as well on sort of how it kind of affecting the data center industry. And you'll see there's some big players spending a lot of money because of the computing power is required for the data center industry. So the landscape of the business itself is just expanding, which is going to require more talent, more resources, more contractors, more manufacturing, more land, more power, like you said. And it appears that it's growing excessively more than what the sort of talent is and the teams that they can use to kind of facilitate these type of environments.
I don't know if it's connected to AI, but we were talking about the growth in data centers. But there's some, you were telling me, Mark was saying about they're putting them in concrete or some concrete bunkers.
Have you heard
of that?
The thing is, in this industry, there are some really, really clever people.
Just say hi. I keep saying his name. Mark's hovering around in the office here. Mark, just come closer to the mic. Just say who you are and what you do here.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mark.
Mark. What are you doing here?
Why am I doing it? Just helping out, you know? Yeah. Just getting things.
He's working on the C4 takeover.
Yes. Just working on Courtney's material.
All right, you can go now. That's good. I just wanted to hear his voice because it's good to know
show he's a real person. Like any industry which requires a lot of capital, you will find that there's a lot of clever people behind the scenes, unsung heroes, should we say. And some of these architects and designs and builder construction, the things that they're able to do in regards to finding space and finding power and sort of building facilities is mind-blowing. You know, you got some stuff which is underwater, you got stuff in bunkers, like what Mark was saying, you know, they're converting old commercial buildings, depending if the design allows them to do that, you know, they're building from scratch. It's unreal, the intelligence behind the scenes.
Did you say underwater? Just
yeah, I mean, I've seen stuff.
It doesn't make sense though. Electronics, I mean, just as a layperson, electronics underwater just doesn't make sense to me. How, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's for cooling. All right.
Yeah, I mean, and even down to like liquid cooling in data centers as well. Like we work in various buildings where they've kind of moved from sort of air cooled to being liquid cooled as well, which you'll find that there is servers in, submerged into submer tanks, which again, they use a particular chemical, a liquid chemical, which essentially, if you open up the lid, right, and you look inside, you can actually see servers which appear to be that underwater.
Crazy. No, I just had visions of, like, you know, your guys wearing diving suits and going in there. And
No. It's not for
cleaning, obviously.
No, it's not. I mean, I think the idea is that it kind of has as less human error as possible. So essentially, they kind of just run an autopilot, and it doesn't require that much sort of maintenance or critical services.
Give us some facts and figures on data. Apparently, UK is sort of one of the leading places for data centers. So it's a great place to run a data specialist data cleaning company.
Yeah.
What's your take? What are the figures? And
yeah, so last time I checked, we're looking at about 500 data centers in the UK, and they're just getting built regularly, so that I believe those numbers are going to be changing. I'm not sure if that includes non-co-locations as well, so you might have some enterprise data centers which doesn't make up in that 500 number. You know, there's some big players in Slough, which there's a lot of data centers which are in Slough and in and around Slough as well. It's looking good for the UK. I don't know how much power they've got available to keep going, but they're finding new ways. Again, it's kind of outside of my reach. Like I said, I'm not a very tech-driven person, but you need to have some sort of an understanding of what's going on in the industry that you're working in.
So really, just as more as a business owner, how is AI affecting your business? Where do you think it's going? Are you starting to use it? What's your views on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible for it to not affect anybody. Even if you go to your local supermarket, right, you're having to use checkout systems, whereas before you'd kind of go to a counter and you'd have sort of like 10 people serving you. Now you've got sort of one person, and you've got to scan your own items, and they'll kind of oversee whether the computer, quote, is responding.
It's got a camera there.
It's got a camera.
Have you finished your shopping?
Yeah, would you like a receipt?
All that sort of stuff. So
it's affecting everybody. Even if you don't want to be affected by it, it's affecting everybody. I think it's really down to how you position yourself and what on perspective, really. There's going to be people who jobs are going to be affected. You know, there's not going to be a requirement as more as it evolves, the more advanced the technology is becoming. I mean, even now, if you look in the office, we've got a robot vacuum, which is kind of, in the industry, it's kind of called Cobotics. They are designed to work alongside your cleaning operatives, depending on what environment that you're in. So, I mean, essentially, can that get rid of cleaning operatives? At this stage, I don't think so. It definitely can help. You often see them in airports. You may see them in train stations. You may see them sort of large areas which require like a constant cleaning service happening, but it's limited to what they can do. And I think you're always going to need to have some sort of human power behind it as well.
I suppose a bit like that supermarket analogy, where you had like 10 checkouts, now you have one.
Yeah.
So you may have one operative.
Yeah.
He's got 10 of these robots going on, and he's just got to make sure they don't kill people.
Yeah. I mean, from what I'm seeing at the moment, it's very much sort of low-level cleaning. Yeah. A majority of it's floors. Anything higher than floors, you're going to need to use human resources for that. I have seen designs where they've kind of gone in and do washrooms or shower rooms and stuff like that.
Do you think there'll be a robot that can go upstairs? I think that's the hard
one. Like RoboCop.
Yes.
Yeah.
And operate a machine. I think it will happen.
Do you know what? I think there's just going to be some jobs which just requires humanity. And with cleaning itself, it's quite difficult for you to essentially have somebody or have a robot which is going to be able to replicate exactly what a cleaning operative does. They might be able to get sort of 50 or 60% of it. But again, I think it comes down to the environment as well. You know, if you're working in a particular environment which requires engagement, you know, something's happened somewhere and you need something to be actioned and you need to have that sort of human touch or being able to understand the environment. You know, you could be going for a really busy period. It might be a VIP visit. It might be like an influx of people. I don't know how a cobotics or robot could kind of compute that and understand that at this stage. But I mean, you just don't know. Like I said, I've never been massive into computers, but I'd assume they're 5 years in development. They're 5 years ahead of where we're talking now. So, I mean, you really just don't know.
I suppose a parallel which you might more relate to with cars or automated cars.
Yeah. And then the thing is, it's like, it's again, it's perspective, isn't it? If you've got people who drive for a living, you might have couriers, you might have chauffeurs, you might have taxi drivers, Uber drivers, those type of positions, from their perspective, it's going to be a deficit to them. It's going to be a problem for them if that particular technology does expand and take over. But then you've also got it from another perspective where there may be a lot of money being spent on couriers or taxis, Ubers, whatever it may be, and that allows other businesses to expand because they don't need to spend so much on these type of resources. It really does, but I think it's all perspective.
There's a lot I was seeing.
You could build businesses off of that technology.
Yeah, every new technology, you
know, is a new opportunity.
Yeah, how many times in history, you know,
you just got to be able to find ways to adapt and move through the times. Yeah. I mean, it's been happening though. Even if you just step away from AI and you just look at sort of evolution and how things have developed. So even look at like the TV, which is behind us, right? I mean, there would have been a time where TVs didn't exist and we relied on entertainment by going to the theatre or engaging with one another or whatever that may be, right? And now you've got televisions where you don't need to go to theatres, you don't need to go and watch plays, you don't need to go watch comedians or whatever that may be. You've got it right there in front of you. And I guess it's about development, isn't it? You know, those people then probably thought at the time, their job is at risk. There's a lot of engagement with our staff and our client. They like it. They like to be able to kind of communicate with each other. If you look at everything which has happened, even down to us using these microphones, you know, like everything has developed from something, and it's just about positioning yourself and finding ways to make it work for you as opposed to it being a threat to you.
I think people, this is, I position myself as, because I saw this coming a long time ago, and I've messed with, I do video and audio editing like for C4, and there's always programs out there where you can edit. And it transcribes your text for you and video. I've tried them. You can put in, I used to do music videos, you can put in whole music videos and say, just click a button and it will edit the whole video. It's actually,
I've seen
bad.
It with the film industry as well, you know, all the sort of the background people.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Virtual, you know, and they're using sort of like AI to kind of create a background drop, or you don't need so many extras anymore. You can film movies very quickly, even down to the voices as well. That you're able to use different actors' voices. Even if you look at facial recognition as well, you're able to kind of, and these are like basic apps that you'll find on sort of like TikTok or
Snapchat.
Even
this podcast is automated. It's not, you know, even, I mean? Like, it's not even you. This is our fake voices. It's all done by AI. This is not a real podcast.
Oh, why have you dropped a bag on that?
Actually, it has already been done.
It just shows you that I think this is something which is developing very quickly. Whereas I think before, where we've kind of looked at things being in progression, I think it takes quite a longer time for it to evolve, where this has been very aggressive. Yeah. And I think that's what people are struggling to comprehend at the moment is, and I think it's that sort of lack of control, you know, because you know, you watch some of these films, right? And then these AI robots start to take over and then actually start to excel past human race. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that going on, and it'll be interesting to know how far it goes and how we can kind of use it to work for us as opposed to against us.
Mm. With you, I said the other day, you haven't actually got a skill, but the irony is you've probably got the one skill that AI can't replace, because like what I do, me doing computers and editing and design, a lot of those can be automated already.
Mm.
But what do you think that skill is? I did actually touch on it the other day.
For myself?
Yeah, you've got the one skill, which I don't actually, where you do need a human. It can't be automated, I don't think. What do you think your USP is?
I think it's probably passion.
Mm.
I think it's passion, and I think it's that will to keep going.
Yes.
You know, it's going to be difficult for you to kind of replicate that artificially. There's going to be times where people just want to talk to people. They want to feel your passion. I know I do. If I'm talking to somebody, I'd much rather do a face-to-face meet than do a Teams call, for example, or do a voice call, a telephone call, because I want to feel their energy. I want them to feel my energy. I want them to know that I'm interested in them. I want to know if they're interested in me. It's going to be quite difficult for you to kind of replicate that.
I think that human, it will come back around to that once everything gets automated. I think even commoditized products where you don't really need a human, you still, like, I'm thinking of an example, if you go into a sweet shop,
some humans just want humans.
I think not some, majority. I think that's how we're
but
built.
Sometimes it is brilliant. Everybody. Sometimes it is brilliant, yeah. And you're like, oh my gosh, that was just so slick. And then sometimes, like, if you've got a problem with something, and then you go online and you're speaking to a chatbot, that becomes quite frustrating.
Absolutely, I totally agree. I'm still old school, as much as I'm very into tech. I would always call someone, or I'd rather chat with someone live. I really hate.
Yeah, so some humans just want humans. Yeah. And again, I think it just comes down to the person, the individual. Like, you speak to a lot of these younger generation now, like, they're just massive into technology. And you kind of speak to a few of the old school people, and they're massive in engagement and having that empathy, isn't it? I think about having that emotion, having that empathy. If you're going through a particular challenging process, like you've lost your cards or you've lost your wallet, there's a lot of people who want to speak to somebody on the other end of the phone and say, look, this is what's happened.
Yes, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Or even if you're like reporting a crime, or you're speaking to someone like in a police station, or, you know, you're speaking to a medic or something. Like, do you know what I mean? You know, you just require the empathy. It's going to be quite difficult for you to replicate that.
Yeah, love it. I love it. Absolutely correct. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's our nature. Like, we've got our own minds. And everybody's mind is slightly different, or someone's life experiences is slightly different to another person. If you're just communicating with a software all the time, that's going to be difficult. Yeah. In my opinion, I think that's going to be quite difficult.
Kind of, but I was thinking of you got, this is more to do with, say, you know, like you read bedtime stories, and I know you got your, is it girls? You got two girls?
Yeah, two girls.
Two girls.
And one son.
When you read them bedtime stories, no, in the old days, you read a book.
Yeah.
Now, you'd probably just create a film with them. You say, okay, you do a prompt, say, right, imagine the character, and then it will be done. And then, okay, what is the story going to do? And then you can both sit back and watch the film you've made, and it'll be like Toy Story.
Possibly. Quality. I mean, maybe the newer generation might adapt to that, but being a parent, I don't want to replace technology with my children. I want to be able to engage my children. If I'm reading a bedtime story, I want them to know that I've read them a bedtime story. Or I often like make up characters, and we'll talk about characters, and you can be quite animated, and you can kind of, you know your child, don't you? You know what there's going to probably be more exciting to them, what's going to sort of trigger sort of responses and stuff like that. I don't like the feeling that you would use some sort of technology to forge that type of relationship. But again, it's horses for courses, isn't it? I mean,
yeah,
some people might not know how to read a bedtime story, or don't really have the creative mindset to kind of make up a story. So you might type in in your computer, how do you do a bedtime story? And then AI may give you an answer, and then you could use that information to apply in your bedtime stories. It's been happening forever.
Yeah.
It's just because it's just speeding up so quickly. I look at a dishwasher there, right? Mm. And, you know, all right, it's not quite AI, but we're using essentially a robot to speed up the process of washing dishes. Yeah. So, I mean, just try not to overthink it. Everybody uses a dishwasher these days.
Still need someone to put the clothes in.
Still need someone to put the stuff in, right? So, you know,
it's always
don't stress. You've still got work out there.
Yeah. But your job is good. I mean, you demonstrated well this week. Where, you know, we were doing a proposal, you know, everything on paper, if we gave us it was great, you ticked all the boxes in the proposal, but there was a little nuance that needed to go in there, which you put the brakes, you know, you said, oh, hang on, we're missing something on ESG or something.
Mm.
And that could only come from a human. I don't think any robot would have picked up on that.
I have to disagree on that, because I think if you're going to use a objective for a bid and you're able to put that information into AI and say, look, this is what the objective is. The client is looking for this particular service. These are the hot points they're into. You could probably put something into computer and it's probably going to give you some sort of answers. Now, the answers itself, I'm not sure if you'd be completely satisfied with what those answers are, but you could actually definitely use that information and enhance what your responses are. I think you'll find that a lot of huge players who do bid writing will probably have reduced the amount of bid writers that they've got in their business because of that type of technology exists. But you still need somebody there to have that emotion, to have that empathy, to really drive that home. You know, if you're going to do your bid and everybody the procurement team love your bid, but then they ask you to do a presentation on that, you're gonna need to be able to understand what your presentation is. And I don't know if you could use a computer. I don't know if procurement would wanna listen to a robot do a video on the presentation on that bid. Unless you've got a procurement robot talking to a procurement business developer, then maybe. But then we've lost control of the situation already, haven't we?
Yeah. Ultimately, someone has to say, yes, that output is right. Let's go with it.
Think we're stressing. I think we're stressing about a lot of things. And we have every right for us to stress because it is scary times. But development's been happening from when we touched this earth, hasn't it?
We talk about data centers, critical cleaning, commercial cleaning, just everything. If you're a small business, big business, or you're in the field and want to connect with Courtney,
how do you get hold of me. You can go on my LinkedIn, which is Courtney Chambers. Don't know how many of them out there.
Mark, do a quick search for Courtney Chambers on LinkedIn. Just see if it comes up. We'll see if people can use it.
If you're in doubt of which one I am, the handsome guy sitting at a desk.
I think it should come up more and more. We're trying to get you.
No, generally, it's easy to get hold of me. I like talking to people as well. So, I mean, obviously my time is... not as accessible as it used to be, but at the same time I always try and find time for people, and I often reach out to people as well because I require a bit of their time or I want to know a bit of their knowledge. And in order for you to expand and develop, I think a lot of it comes down to communication. So if I'm talking to somebody, or I want to speak to someone, or I want to know more about that person, or know more about their design or product or whatever that may be, you also, as a human being, need to give back as well.
No, definitely. I can vouch for that. I say it's not just a podcast here. We're genuinely trying to make connections to help and give back. I'm of that mind. I know Courtney definitely is. So do send Courtney a message and just Google Courtney Chambers, C4 Cleaning, on any of the channels. We're on YouTube, TikTok, and Courtney's personal one is on LinkedIn. Thanks again, Courtney.
No worries.